Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Paved Paradise: How Parking Explains the World is a nonfiction work of urban criticism and journalism by Henry Grabar. It examines how parking requirements, parking supply, and parking policy have shaped American cities far beyond the curbside or the garage, drawing on history, planning, politics, and reporting. The book argues that the demand to store cars has influenced housing costs, land use, transit, neighborhood form, and the quality of public space. Rather than treating parking as a minor technical issue, Grabar presents it as a central force in modern development decisions. The book is especially concerned with how rules requiring abundant parking can make homes more expensive, streets less livable, and cities more spread out. It also shows that parking is often treated as an unquestioned necessity, even when it consumes land and resources that could support more useful civic purposes. The result is a clear-eyed, accessible investigation into an everyday system with unusually large urban consequences. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, parking as a hidden driver of urban land use. One of the book's central ideas is that parking is not just a convenience problem, but a land use regime. Grabar shows that cities have devoted enormous amounts of space to storing idle cars, often through minimum parking requirements embedded in zoning and development rules. This matters because land used for parking cannot simultaneously be used for housing, parks, shops, or public space. The book emphasizes that this trade-off is rarely visible to residents because parking is spread across lots, garages, and curb space, making it feel ordinary even when it occupies a major share of urban land. By tracing how much space parking consumes, Grabar reframes it as a planning decision rather than a neutral background condition. The practical implication is that debates about density, walkability, and affordability often begin with parking regulations, even when they seem to be about something else entirely. Parking becomes a lens for understanding how cities are physically organized and why many of them feel less compact, less mixed use, and less humane than they might otherwise be. Secondly, how parking rules raise housing costs and shape development. The book makes a strong case that parking mandates can increase the cost of building and renting housing. When developers are required to provide fixed numbers of spaces, they must spend more on excavation, construction, land, and ongoing maintenance, even in places where many residents do not own cars or do not need them all the time. Grabar explains that these costs are not abstract, they are folded into the price of new apartments and homes, which means that parking requirements can make housing less affordable for everyone, including people who never use the spaces. He also shows that these rules can limit the kinds of buildings that get built, because some sites cannot easily accommodate large garages or surface lots. That can reduce the number of homes produced and steer investment toward car-oriented forms of development. The argument is not that parking is unnecessary everywhere, but that one-size-fits-all mandates often force communities to overbuild it. This makes the book especially relevant to housing policy, because it connects affordability to an overlooked design requirement rather than to housing markets alone. Thirdly, parking policy as an engine of car dependence and traffic. Grabar links parking abundance to broader transportation behavior. If parking is easy to find, inexpensive, and built into nearly every destination, driving becomes the default choice for many trips. The book suggests that parking policy does not simply respond to car use. It helps create it by making automobile travel more convenient than walking, biking, or transit. This dynamic has consequences for congestion, because more driving generates more traffic, more road demand, and more pressure for still more parking. It also weakens transit systems when destinations are designed around auto access, rather than dense, mixed, walkable patterns. The book's analysis is useful because it shifts attention away from individual choices and toward the built environment that shapes those choices. People often think they are choosing cars freely, but the availability of parking has already structured the options. Grabar's argument helps explain why transportation reform cannot be separated from parking reform. If communities want less congestion and more viable alternatives to driving, they need to reconsider the policy that makes driving the easiest and most socially rewarded option. Fourthly, the civic and environmental costs of sacrificing public space for storage. Another important theme is that parking changes the character of public life. Large lots, expansive garages, and curbside requirements often produce blank, inactive edges in the urban landscape, replacing places that could support social interaction, commerce, trees, or pedestrian comfort. Grabar shows that the cost is not only aesthetic but civic when land is organized around storing cars. Cities lose opportunities to create places that are more welcoming and more useful to people without vehicles. The book also connects parking to environmental harm. Surface lots increase heat, encourage sprawl, and create large impervious areas that can worsen stormwater runoff and flood risk. In this sense, parking is tied to climate and infrastructure in ways many readers may not anticipate. Graybar's strength is to connect these effects without overstating them. He treats parking as one part of a wider system of land consumption and ecological burden. The book therefore helps readers see that the question is not simply where cars will sit, but what kind of city is produced when so much of its surface is reserved for them. Lastly, a practical critique grounded in reporting rather than theory alone, what distinguishes the book is its method. Graybar does not write as a purely theoretical planner or an abstract policy critic. He uses reporting, historical context, and case-based observation to show how parking became normalized and how communities might begin to change course. This gives the book a practical orientation. It is not only describing a problem, but asking how cities can audit real parking demand, adjust zoning, and stop assuming that every destination requires the same amount of car storage. The book is effective because it treats parking as a solvable governance issue shaped by rules, habits, and local politics. That makes it useful for readers who work in planning, housing, transportation, architecture, or civic advocacy, but it is also accessible to general readers because the subject is familiar and the consequences are tangible. Rather than offering a single technical fix, the book encourages a more fundamental rethinking of what cities are for and whose needs they prioritize. Its value lies in making a mundane subject legible as a major policy question. In conclusion, Paved Paradise: How Parking Explains the World is worth reading for anyone interested in housing, city planning, transportation, environmental policy, or the everyday design of urban life. It will be especially useful for planners, local officials, developers, journalists, and residents who want to understand why cities so often feel expensive, car-dominated, and hard to walk in. The book offers more than a critique of parking lots. It explains how parking requirements became embedded in zoning, and how those rules quietly influence the cost and form of nearly everything built in a city. Its practical benefit is that it helps readers see where reform can begin, especially by questioning blanket assumptions about how much parking is actually needed. Its intellectual value is that it links a seemingly narrow issue to larger systems of land use, affordability, mobility, and public space. Compared with many urbanist books, it stands out for turning a mundane subject into a clear and memorable account of how policy shapes the built environment. Graybar's reporting gives the book breadth, while its argument gives it force. It is both accessible and consequential, which makes it unusually effective within the field of nonfiction about cities. If you would like to support Henry Graybar, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.